Well, we'll ask the Lord's blessing then on his word. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank thee for the particular word that we're going to consider tonight. We pray, Lord, that this word might truly speak to us. Thou take it, Lord, and thou bring it home, both to head and to heart tonight. And Father, if what we're going to look at concerning the psalmist is true of us, we pray, Lord, that thou grant to us repentance and thou turn us again to thee, Lord, that we might be truly a people near to thyself. Lord, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from going away from thee. Keep us close to our Saviour, never higher than his feet, never further than his cross. Keep us close to him, we pray. We ask these things now, commending this time into thy hands, in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, as I mentioned this morning and earlier on this evening, the text that I want to preach to you on this evening is actually a text that's quite similar to the one that we were looking at this morning, so there will be a little bit of repetition. It's similar, but it is not the same. And it's Psalm 119 and verse 176. It's a verse where we have this particular psalmist, we'll see who he is in a moment, praying to the Lord, praying to Jehovah. And I think that we'll see as we look at this verse tonight, that it has a number of things to teach us, perhaps even to warn us about. And it particularly has a number of things to teach us about prayer, amongst other things. But the verse reads as follows. The psalmist said, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." So that's similar to the text we're looking at this morning, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. And it says, "Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I have gone astray. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." So, dear friends, tonight we are right at the end of the longest chapter, indeed the longest psalm in the Psalter, the longest chapter in the whole of Scripture. So we're in Psalm 119 and verse 176. Where the psalmist here is praying to his God, praying to the Lord, the only true and living God, you see, about himself. And that's one thing I can say straight away about prayer. When we pray to God, and in our prayers we seek God's glory. And when we pray, we sometimes pray for others. We petition God on behalf of others. But sometimes we may pray about ourselves, and this is what the psalmist is doing here. He's praying to the Lord about himself. What he prays here is in the first person singular, isn't it? "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." And the "I" here is the psalmist, and although there's no title of this psalm right at the very beginning, and there's no mention of the psalmist's name, many of the commentators, and some of the greater, the well-known commentators, believe that the psalmist here was David, the sweet singer of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, King David, the king of Israel. Perhaps one of the reasons it may be him, he's speaking here about sheep. We know that before David was a king that he was a shepherd. Perhaps they say that it's David because of, most of all, not only what he writes about, but also the style of the psalm. All the writers of the Old and New Testament had their particular styles, and David also had his own style, and this psalm, many feel, was particularly in his kind of style. So it's David here, King David, the king of Israel, a believer, a converted man, one of the Lord's children, one of God's people. And one that he describes himself throughout the whole of this psalm as thy servant, God's servant, the servant of the Lord, a servant of God. So it's not like what we had this morning, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, where Isaiah was describing about people going astray. People going astray before they were converted, if they were converted at all. This is a man speaking about his going astray since he was converted, even as a believer, even as one of God's children, one of God's people. And that's a warning for you, my dear friend. Although a believer can never lose his or her salvation, once saved, always saved, you can go astray from God. And you've got to ask him daily to keep you. And you've got to keep on every day working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean to say that you're never going to stray away from God. It is possible. It's happened to many. It happened to David himself. It may also happen to you. So do be warned about that and pray about that daily. Make sure you keep a close walk with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he describes himself here as thy servant. So he does this throughout the whole of the psalm. Let me just read to you verses 17, 23 and 38. I could read to you 49, 65, 76, 84 and so on all the way to 140 into this verse. He only describes himself in the psalm as thy servant, God's servant. Not an unbeliever, not an unsaved sinner, but one of God's true servants. Deal bountifully with thy servant, verse 17, that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And it's very important to establish that fact right at the beginning here, that the man who is the psalmist, the person who we're dealing with here, is not somebody who's not a believer, but is a true believer in God and in his Christ. Well, my dear friend, are you one of God's servants? Are you a believer? Are you a converted man, woman, boy, or girl here tonight? Are you one of the Lord's children or people? Well, if you are, this word is perhaps particularly for you. The one this morning was more evangelistic to those who perhaps are not the Lord's people or not yet the Lord's people. But this word tonight is for those of you here who are the people of God. Now I notice a number of things here that the psalmist, he prays about himself. He first of all prays to God about what he had done, what he had recently done. We know that David did it a number of times during his life and during his reign about his going astray from God. And so at the beginning of this verse we have his personal confession. His personal confession before God. Then secondly, he describes it. Once again we have an illustration similar to that in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. But how he had done this. He gives his pastoral illustration. And if it was David who wrote this psalm, we can well understand why it is that he illustrates what happens to him in this way. He's drawing from his pastoral experience, his time as a shepherd of sheep on the hills outside of Bethlehem. And then thirdly, he prays to God a petition, a supplication to him of what he wanted God to do, his being in this kind of spiritual state and condition. And then fourthly and finally, a second reason, why he wanted God to do it. He gives to him his explanation, or a reason, why he wanted God to be gracious to him. In fact, he gives something of a profession also at the end of this verse. Let's look at the first of these points tonight. So we have David here, crying to God about what he had done, this had happened to him, this was his experience. We don't know how long ago this had happened to him. It appeared that he was still like this. He gives here to God his personal confession. And again, there's a little bit of teaching, a little bit of instruction there about our prayers. And of all the things that our prayers should contain, the content of our prayers, one of them is confession of sin. And when we're not confessing our sins, that's not a good sign. That's not a spiritually healthy sign. When we are confessing our sins, well, that is a sign of spiritual health. It sounds a little bit of a paradox, but it's true. I can remember a minister telling me a story about himself once when he went to a fraternal. He went to two fraternals, one after the other. And the first one he prayed, and in his prayer he was freely confessing his sins, carefully, tactfully confessing those sins that he could confess in that kind of situation. And the next meeting he went to, he didn't confess his sin because he felt that his heart had been rather hardened. And a fellow colleague came up to him, a minister came up to him, and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're better, because you're no longer confessing your sins." And this man had to correct him when he said, "In that first meeting, I was far more spiritually healthy than I am today." So my dear friend, are you... This is a sign in which we can see whether or not we have gone astray from God. When we go astray from him, we tend to not to confess our sins before him. When we're close to him, we're aware of his holiness and our sinfulness and filthiness and vileness, and we do tend to confess them before him. Are you confessing your sins daily? "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us" is part of our Lord's Prayer. So it's personal confession. And it was this. It's the same kind of thing as we had this morning, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. David here confesses personally to God that he had gone astray. He uses the same word, the same Hebrew word, I think, that Isaiah used in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. So he's saying here, he's confessing, even I, your servant, the king and the psalmist of Israel, even I have spiritually gone astray from you. I have erred away from you. I've roamed away from you spiritually. I've wandered away. I've sinned against you, Lord, and from the way of your commandments. Not as one who is not one of your servants, but even as one who is. My dear friends, it's a terrible thing, it's a tragic thing that we come into this world estranged from God, as we heard this morning, straying away from him even from our mother's womb, from birth. And we continue like that from our conversion. But it's also a terrible thing, my dear friends, after, perhaps even more, after we become Christians, after we become believers, after we're born again, to continue to stray away from God in this way. And to go away from him who loved us, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, to go away from him and to go away from walking in his laws, in his commandments, not to save ourselves, but as a sign that we love him and we want to keep his commandments. So this is David's confession here, that he had spiritually gone astray from the Lord and from his commandments. But the difference between this morning and tonight is not as one who wasn't one of the servants of God, but as one of his children. You see, my dear friends, if it's not for God's restraining grace, we'll go the same way as David. Are you more gracious than David? Are you more godly than David? Are you more spiritual than David? Yet look how far astray David sometimes went. And if he could, we can also. You take care. Those who think you stand, lest ye fall. It's possible for all of us. If David could stray away from God, we can also. We daily pray and call upon God and ask him for the grace to uphold us and to keep us in the way. Keep following after the Lord Jesus Christ, not straying away from him, not backsliding away. The Old Testament says like a backsliding heifer. So the Lord complains in a way in Jeremiah 15 verse 6 in this way. He said about his people, the children of Israel, they have been lost sheep. Sheep that are strayed away from him. And Ezekiel 14 verse 11, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions. Probably most of them weren't believers, but some of them may well have been. and they strayed away from God, but they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Well, my dear friend, I'm now asking you, as I asked this morning, to those who are amongst us who perhaps who are not Christians, but I ask you tonight, as a believer, have you gone spiritually astray, even you, one of God's people? And you might be a real servant, you might be an officer in the church. Ministers can go go astray from God very easily, dealing with holy things all the time. Elders and deacons, Sunday school teachers, and so on. Have you gone, or a church member, and you might have been a Christian for a long time, or for a relatively short time, have you spiritually gone astray from God? Have you erred or roamed away from Him, wandered far from Christ and Him crucified, from Him and from the way of His commandments, not as one who is not one of His servants, but even one who is? It's a good sign when we can admit these things to ourselves. It's a good thing when we can confess these things to God. It's the first sign of our coming back to Him, isn't it? It's the first indication that God is having mercy upon us. When we see our fault, when we see our error, when we see that we strayed away from Him, when we feel it, when we're convicted about it, and when we acknowledge it before Him and confess it before Him and admit it to ourselves. It's the first sign of, it's the first stage, if you like, on the road to spiritual recovery. So he prays, first of all, what he had done. And like Isaiah this morning, he also illustrates this. He gives a pastoral illustration. Say, David was a shepherd before he was a king. And so it doesn't surprise us, as at the end of this psalm, if it was him that wrote this psalm, he says he had gone astray like a lost sheep. Same illustration as Isaiah. I've gone astray like a straying sheep, straying away from its shepherd, straying away from the flock, straying away from the fold, straying away from the right path or from the right way. I can also say here at this point, another good practical point about our praying is not only in our prayers to confess our sins, but also, my dear friends, in our prayers we can also use biblical language, and we can also use biblical illustrations. When we confess our sins, we can say, Lord, I have gone astray, I admit it. And I've gone astray just like David, just even like the psalmist did. I know better than he. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Like a lost sheep strays away from its shepherd, its flock, its fold, its path, or its way. Another way in which you perhaps know that you may have strayed away, because even though you may not have gone away, you might have there might be the temptation and the tendency. Already perhaps you've strayed away from God in your heart, but you begin to stray away outwardly as well, externally, in a kind of practical way. You begin to separate and divorce yourself from especially the public prayer meeting. You begin perhaps to become a oncer on the Lord's Day. Well, you don't really want to come. The desire is not there any longer. Appetite for God's word, perhaps. Or the desire to pray and the enjoyment of prayer. Sometimes we don't, perhaps prayer isn't enjoyment for other reasons. But that can be one reason. We don't relish it. We don't relish the presence of God. And we begin to be not those who are present at meetings, but we begin to be those who absent ourselves. And absent ourselves, there's some really sometimes ridiculous reasons, ridiculous excuses, or excuses that just do not hold water, because really they are evidence of a heart that has gone astray, a heart that perhaps has lost its first love. So David straight away, he says, like a lost sheep, like a lost sheep. It reminds us, doesn't it, of our Lord's parable in Luke chapter 15 and verses 3 to 6. Christ spake this parable to the Pharisees and to the scribes, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? David would have well have empathized with these words of Christ and with this parable. If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. David confesses before God, personal confession, and in his personal confession, he gives a very clear illustration of pastoral confession. I've gone away like a lost, silly sheep, a foolish sheep, going away from the shepherd. I've gone away from you, Lord, that place of safety and security and protection and provision. Often, my dear friends, do we bite the hand that feeds us when we turn away from God and sin against him? Well, have you spiritually gone astray like this, like a lost sheep? Are you just like that? Going away from God, from your great chief and good shepherd, from the flock, from the fold, from the right path, from the right way. Well, what's the third thing here? Well, this is interesting, isn't it? Because David now prays to God, wanting God to intervene into this situation. Kind of giving to God here his powerful petition and supplication of what he wanted God to do. You notice he doesn't say, Lord, you know, help me to seek you. David should have done that. He should have, in fact, he was no doubt doing this here, seeking the Lord until he found him once again. But it seems that he kind of felt that he was so far away from God. Just like a sheep can go away, it can't find its way back again. And David had gone away from God, and he felt he couldn't find his way back again. So what does he ask God to do? He asked God to seek him. He asked God to seek him. David would have been seeking God himself. But he felt so, perhaps so far away from God, he could never lose his salvation. But he felt so spiritually lost, even as a believer, he asked the Lord once again to seek after him again. My dear friends, we are quite helpless sometimes and hopeless, even as believers. When we go away from God, we need his grace once again, the kind of grace that we required for him to seek us and to find us before we were converted. We need that grace again. Amen. The grace that first converted us, like in Peter's case, we need the same grace to convert us, to turn us to him once more. So he petitioned him. He supplicated the Lord to seek him. And again, in our prayers should not only have confession, biblical illustration, but again, a practical pointer. Our prayers, let's ask the Lord that we might have plenty of petitions in our prayers, supplicating God. And he's very urgent here, isn't he? He's very earnest. He asks God very pointedly, seek thy servant. Seek your servant. Search for your servant like a shepherd, like we saw in Luke 15 a moment ago, like a shepherd would seek his lost sheep. Because I can't find you. I can't find my way back. Just as in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, it was far easier for the pilgrims to go out of the way than to find their way back onto the way, wasn't it? And it's very easy for Christian to lose his role of assurance than to find it again. It's a great warning to you and me, my dear friends. It's far, far easier and quicker to go out of the way than to find our way back again. But if we find ourselves like Christian and like his companion in Giant Despair's castle, in the dungeon there, we can pray this, Lord, seek us out, seek thy servant. And bring us back to yourself again. Because I can't find you. I can't find my way back again to you. And notice a reason that he gives to God here for doing this. Because I am thy servant. I'm not one of the ungodly. Even though I've gone astray from you, I'm still one of the godly. One of the righteous by faith. One of your justified people. Precious to you. And all of God's people are, as the apple of his eye to him, are precious to him. So Lord, kind of don't leave me to wander and to kind of fail away, kind of to go away from you, going astray from you and be lost in this way. But Lord, come and find me because I'm one of your sheep, one of the sheep of your pasture. You are my shepherd. You are my God. You are my Father. Don't leave me kind of in the spiritual desert like this, in the spiritual wilderness, in a state of barrenness. But come, seek me and find me again. Or seek your sheep, because I can't find you, and I am your servant. The lovely verse in Ezekiel 34 and verse 16, where God promises this. He says, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and I'll bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, and I'll destroy the fat and the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. God has promised. David prayed, and God has promised to seek that which is lost. I'm saying to you here, not as a lost sinner, but if you're feeling pretty lost tonight, even as a Christian, pray to him, seek me, and God has promised to do so. You're precious to him. He's not always going to leave you to wander in the wilderness. He'll bring you back again. That's like in the book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, when you see the lady coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. Sometimes we go into the wilderness, but when we come out leaning upon our Lord Jesus Christ, clinging, cleaving ever closer and stronger to him. So do you want him to seek you like a shepherd and seek his lost sheep because you can't find your way back to him, and you are one of his servants? Nothing worse than being away from the Lord, not having close fellowship and communion with him. Nothing better than to be close with him and knowing a felt Christ, felt presence of God. Do you know that? Well, finally, before we close, he gives a second reason. It's not the first, a second reason why he wanted to seek him. Not only because I'm your servant, but notice this explanation he gives here, and a profession here too, and a reason why he wanted to seek him. And again, my dear friends, when we preach and also when we pray, when we offer up petitions to God, it's always good to back them, isn't it, with reasons. And he gives God a reason here why he should do this. And his reason, in a way, seems quite strange. But he says here, because I've not forgotten your commandments. You could say to David, well, David, you know, on the one hand, you're saying you've strayed away from God like a lost sheep. The next minute, you're saying that you've not forgotten your commandments. Isn't that something of a contradiction there? Surely, if you strayed away from me, you have forgotten. But I think what David is saying here is this. That although he had ceased to walk closely with God, and there was a bit of an estrangement and a break in fellowship, and he'd gone away from the Lord, and perhaps he wasn't practicing the faith as much as he should have been, the remnant of faith was still there. There was still grace in his heart. Although perhaps he wasn't walking in God's commandments with all his heart, soul, mind and strength, he didn't forget them. The remnant of that remembrance there. He was still one of God's people. He wasn't lost altogether. He would never be lost. There was still grace in his heart. And Cooper wrote these words. William Cooper, who wrote a number of lovely hymns. He said, the godly never so fall, but there remains in them some grace, some faith. Even though faith might be little, it's never nothing. We may have little faith and still have little grace, which reserves a hope of medicine to cure them. So David here, albeit he transgressed some of God's commandments, yet he fell not into any full oblivion of them. And where there's life, and where there is faith, and where there's grace, even though somebody may backslide away from God, there is hope. And it's interesting, like he repeats again and again through this psalm, the mention of his being God's servant. Throughout this psalm, umpteen times, he keeps on saying to God that he is one who does not forget his commandments. Psalm 119, 16, 61, 83, amongst many others. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget your word. The hands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. I am become as a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. So David often strayed, sometimes very seriously, into adultery, murder, lying, listening to the devil, numbering Israel when he shouldn't have done, pride, and so on. He fell many times, never losing salvation, of course, but there was always still, because he was one of God's people, indwelled by the Spirit of God, there was always grace there. Sometimes very little faith, but it was always there, never lost. God had hold of him and would never, ever let him go. So do you want him to seek you because you have not forgotten his commandments? They're still at the back there. They're still at the back of your mind. There's still an awareness of God. There's an awareness that you have gone away from. There is a desire, fleeting sometimes, that you want to come back to him. It's there. Well, that is good. And you want to pray like David here, that the Lord, as your good chief and great shepherd, he might fully restore your soul. So you not only don't forget his commandments, you remember them and seek to walk in them, to show your love to him and to seek to please him. So David personally confessed his going astray. He pastorally illustrated it by saying he was like a lost sheep. He petitioned the Lord powerfully, "Seek your servant." Very short, to the point, very powerful, very urgent, crying to God, "Seek your servant." And a reason, because I don't forget thy commandments. And my friends, dear friends, surely the Lord heard his servant and restored his soul. I don't know when he wrote this psalm, but think of Psalm 23. "He restoreth my soul." And God can restore our souls again and again and again until he fully redeems them. If you pray, he will answer your prayers. A lovely thing to finish on. He's a God who both hears and answers our prayers, particularly one like this. Amen. Amen.